Near the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Beautiful morning out there. Welcome in. We're focusing on the city of Murfreesboro today, and Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is with us this morning. Shane, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. Glad to be here.
Good to have you here. You've been enjoying life. We've had the weather to enjoy it, too.
I know. Yeah, we got to enjoy a little, had a work deal last week, but got to enjoy being south in Florida for a few days, so that was nice. And now back, Bill Shacklett and I were on the ball field from 4:45 yesterday afternoon until 9:45 last night.
So, I bet you enjoyed it. Some wonderful people over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, had a doubleheader last night, and then got it because of the rain in May. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of games been rained out, so we've got had a doubleheader last night, got a doubleheader on Thursday, a doubleheader on Tuesday, and a game on Wednesday.
So, now, are you coaching over there?
Yeah. Bill and I are coaching. Bill's on his 52nd year of coaching Little League Baseball.
Wow. So that is dedication.
He has coached longer than I've been alive.
I bet that makes him feel good.
Yeah. So I just help whenever asked. But, yeah, Bill's got it under control.
Yeah. And you have been out and about. You were at the retirement dinner for Gordon Ferguson, made a presentation to him.
Yeah, last Saturday was, I guess it was last Saturday, it was a busy between baseball and played. There was my wife and then John Jones sponsored with Jimmy Borndine at MTSU. They sponsored a big pickleball tournament. So there were 150 people who came out and played pickleball over at MTSU to support the MTSU program. And then I scooted over to Joel Bigelow with Endure Athletics, had what he called a celebrity softball game. So Kelly Beam was the MC for that. So we had a celebrity softball game and then went over and changed in the parking lot at the Fountains to be able to present Gordon Ferguson after, I think it was 27 years he's been
right
with Ascension. So
he has done so much for the community.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to find it's really hard to find a better individual than Gordon Ferguson. I mean, he's as good as they come.
Oh, he really goes the extra mile and
yes.
Just a super caring individual. Well, it's no big secret. The unearthing of Town Creek, the sunlighting, the daylighting is going on. And is there water in the creek yet?
No water in the creek yet. But if you go to our social media pages, there's a really cool update that City TV, Steve Burris with City TV did, that shows a video of exactly what's happening. And then the Insider podcast that Mike Browning and his team just released has Sam Huddleston on there, and he really talks about sort of what's happening. But they're starting to unearth a portion of the creek. It'll be a while before they start letting water flow through that. I mean, they'll have to get it stabilized, but it's going to be something like we've not seen here in Murfreesboro.
So, at least 75 years or so, probably. Whenever they put it down.
It's been a long time before both of us.
Yeah.
So, it's something I think that everybody is really excited to see, and a project that has taken a while. And, you know, it's an expensive project, but the other side of that, because I see some things on my social media pages where people say, what a waste of money. The city was going to have to pay to fix that drainage one way or another, you know, because that drainage was put in the 50s and the drainage system was failing. So it was either going to have to be unearthed or dug up and fixed and then covered back up, or us being able to use another option, which is what we've done to really, I think, retransform that area. I think Journey Home Moving is going to be a catalyst to some of the redevelopment in that area as well. We've had some really good meetings with Journey Home talking about some upcoming opportunities with their relocation. And I think, you know, transforming that entire Cannonsburg area into you know, it used to be a destination spot. It's definitely not a destination spot anymore. And I think sort of retransforming that into a place that people want to go and spend time and hang out, that's something we're committed to making happen.
That was one of several projects that were discussed to open it up to developers, because you have a lot of warehouse space over there. Those places are moving out so that developments can happen. Is a developer interested? Have you heard any connection?
I mean, you know, we did that bottom study and had a lot of talks. You know, there was the talk about the minor league baseball that we were never really involved in. But, you know, Bart, I think that area has had some challenges. And this is nothing negative to, you know, some of the services that are provided down there. But, you know, you just have to look at data. And Cannonsburg went from one of our most used trailheads to one of our most least used trailheads. And I think part of that, you know, has to do with the safety of the area and the services that are being provided down there. So that's one of the things that we've talked about with Journey Home about. And man, we had a great meeting this week, and Leslie Dodd Carl on their board and Russ Galloway on their board. We had a lot of talk about outcomes and our police department, and they're, you know, we're going to work together to maybe come up with some solutions for better ways to handle things. And so I think that's, Bart, I mean, I would be lying if I didn't say that what's happened in that area. You know, you sort of had you had the liquor store that was there. You had some of the services that were being provided there. And then you look at the crime data, and those all coincide together. And so I think that's one of the things that we're working on, that we are very cognizant about with Town Creek, that cannot turn into what you're seeing in that area right now. And I think that's something that we're all committed to making sure does not happen.
That again would be, the Town Creek will be a sort of a greenway, in a way, a creekway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bart, the Cannonsburg area from Cannonsburg to Fort Rosecrans has really turned into an area that safety is a concern. And the crime data shows that. Our police know it. We stay on top of it. Our Parks and Recreation staff stays on top of it. You know, the organizations that provide services in those areas, they know it. And we're committed that we're going to fix it. I mean, one way or another. And we think that, you know, we've got buy-in and we've got support to be able to fix it. But, you know, look, any of our families or residents should be able to spend time on the greenway and not worry about their safety. And right now, I would tell people in that section of Cannonsburg, you know, at daylight, I wouldn't want my wife running down there. And so I think that's a problem.
Well, once they clear out the warehouses, and there are some nice, relatively new buildings right along Hickerson Drive.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the area. I think what we're talking about is, you know, some of the camping and those things that have taken place down there.
The wooded area near Cannonsburg, Cannonsburg.
Yeah, behind Cannonsburg, from Cannonsburg going to the golf course to Fort Rosecrans. And, you know, we consistently and constantly are clearing and focusing on that. And look, I'm telling you that I'm not being cold-hearted on that. I think that's why we're partnering with organizations. You look at our Community Investment Trust, we're partnering with dollars to help those organizations. But, you know, at the same time, our number one goal is to make sure that we live in a safe community and that our residents are safe. And that's one of the things I think we're committed. That really is one of the focuses on our budget that we just passed last Thursday night, has a continued emphasis on safety and public safety.
While we're talking about updates, that's the Bottoms update. And you can, I was impressed this morning as I drove by the opening of the creek, how wide, I had not realized how wide that strip of land is.
Yeah, go watch that video it's on Mayor McFarland on Facebook. You can see the update that has all of that, like, renderings and like a 3D video of what it's going to look like. Yeah, you go check that out. I think once you see that, you will be impressed of what's going to happen in that area.
Well, let's go across broad now to the next project. These projects are geographically close to each other. Some exciting things are about to happen across broad.
Yeah, I think the Keystone development, our last update we got, they're still working through it. A project this large continues to be putting a puzzle together, and so I think I've not been involved in a lot of the discussions. I know our team has. I think they're nearing the final stages of bringing that to the council for final approval, and it will entail sort of a phasing plan. You know, phase one will be where your building's going to go, where WGNS is going to go across the street, where we're sitting right now. That's more the commercial and the residential piece, and then phase two will move into the office and the condominium piece, and phase three will be the hotel piece. So phasing all those together, that's what they're working on right now.
Now, we're hearing rumblings once in a while. You always hear rumblings.
Sure.
We're hearing rumblings that all of this to be approved again has to be approved again because there's some big changes in it. And some of the council members reportedly are thinking, maybe I'm not going to vote the way I did last time.
I haven't heard that on council members. I mean,
that's all who has to vote on. Oh, no, there's more, aren't there?
No, just the council.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's not a regional group or anything?
No. I think the TIF, the tax incremental financing portion, will be voted on by the council, and that has to be voted on by the county as well. But, you know, I think, Bart, with a project this large, I mean, you're talking a close to $200 million project, I think was what the total price tag is. I mean, and maybe it's just because I'm in that line of work that you see that from the financial end, things will change and adjust. So, I mean, our last discussion that this group has got, you know, almost $1.5 million in design fees and costs in there. So, they want to see this be successful, and we do too.
I mean, well, the city's invested heavily already.
Well, we've not invested cash. I mean,
well, you got that property where the bridge is going to connect.
Well, that, yes,
or
but
how is that done?
We would have done that regardless with Town Creek. I mean, you know, we've talked about that pedestrian access bridge as long as I've been involved with the city. So, you know, trying to get that corner. A car lot on the corner was great 50 years ago, but one of the busiest intersections was South Church Street and Broad Street. I think you could argue that a car lot is not the best location. So it's just like the property across the street that we bought years and years ago where the Velvet Elvis guy would used to sell on there. I mean, those corners needed to be – the city now owns basically – three of the four parcels or all four parcels on the corner there. And so the reason why is to be able to improve the pedestrian access that's going to go downtown. And I still would like to see, it may not be in my lifetime, I still would like to see another pedestrian access at Front Street, you know, Vine Street going over to...
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, to where, you know, the Longhorn Liquor is now. So people who are walking down the hill, you've got two ways to get across Broad Street. So the city's really been committed to enhancing and increasing pedestrian access, you know, specifically in our downtown area.
While you mentioned that area over on Front Street in particular,
yeah,
all of the additional property that the city, some of it has acquired, some of it, I guess, you're waiting for it to become vacant. Yard sale property?
Yeah, so the city owns yard sale. We own the Captain D's, and then we own the two lots that are next to the Captain D's where I think there may have been like a tattoo shop or something next to the bridge.
So you own everything?
We own everything all the way
Front Street over to the creek.
Front Street to the creek, and which is, you got to think about this. That's going to help the traffic in that area because the Captain D's and that the other two buildings that are there, they're awful for ingress and egress. And that's the part, really, Bart, and I give the city council a lot of credit on this. You know, any elected official, you've heard that saying that, you know, a mayor was elected and the past mayor left three cards on the desk and he told him, hey, I got three cards on the desk. When you get in trouble, open a card. And the first time he made a mistake, he opened the card and it said, blame me. So the mayor said, hey, it was the last guy's fault. The second time he got in trouble, he opened the second card and he said, hey, blame me. So the mayor said, hey, I'm blaming the last guy. The third time he got in trouble and made a mistake, he opened the card and the card said, make three cards. You know, so, I mean, what we end up doing as a council is, you look at Broad Street, for example. Mm-hmm. Things have changed since the 40s and 50s when Broad Street was a main pedestrian access before we had the interstate. You know, you wanted people driving down Broad Street and turning right into the parking lot of where there was a business. That's all changed. And so we really are dealing with past decisions that were made, you know, 50, 60 years ago in fixing those. And that's what the city has really done on acquiring that property down Broad Street to basically eliminate the commercial businesses that are along that corridor. So now there are no people turning off Broad Street before you get to Church Street. So, you know, we don't have the money to go purchase all the property down Broad Street, but that's what we try really hard in working with TDOT to fix those things as development occurs.
Now, in the past years, when Canonsburg was really attracting a lot of activities,
yeah,
a lot of events, public events, people always would say, I wish there was more land to have these public events. By adding that additional land, are you going to be adding it to be used by Canonsburg? Is it going to be fenced in, or what will it be?
Well, it will be part of the Town Creek project. So, I mean, we're going to realign South Front Street. So, you know, in the construction of Town Creek, South Front Street will be realigned. And so some of that property, like where Yard Sale is, that's where the road's going to be realigned. You know, that's a wonky Vine Street sort of catty-cornered to South Front Street. So hopefully we're going to fix that. But the other part with Town Creek, and that was one of the reasons on Canonsburg, that, you know, the event space there was just no parking for those. Like, you remember when Uncle Dave Macon Days used to be at Canonsburg, and you would remember that, like, on the Fridays and Saturdays, you would have to have a police officer parked on Broad Street to sort of usher people across a 5-lane highway.
And you still will have to do that if there's no bridge there.
Well,
because they won't cross at the other side, probably.
Well, I think what we can end up doing is making sure that we've got police enforcement at Front Street that basically directs people, hey, you need to walk down South Church, or you need to walk down Broad Street to the pedestrian bridge, and then you can get across through Town Creek. So I think there are ways to eliminate that. But, you know, it's never a good idea where there's no red light and no pedestrian crossing to have people crossing a 5-lane road. So I think we're working on those plans, and I think you'll see that really being an emphasis with this project.
Is that sunlighting of Town Creek, is that coming along faster than, I mean, it looks pretty fast.
It's like every construction project, you know, it's like a house that's under construction. It goes really fast until you get to where you're in drywall, and then everything slows down. So I think we're in those initial phases to where the excavation is sort of the easy part. But when you start getting into the details of all the things that go with that, I think it will slow down. So, you know, the good news, though, you know, we had 22 rain days in the month of May. That, as we get along the segment, that'll be another question to ask about the landfill.
We got a whole bunch of questions on that.
So, we're not working in mud over there. You know, we're working basically on concrete and excavating stone. So, you know, they were still able to work through all those rain days.
Good deal. While we are talking about that, before we change to another subject, let's move across the street again, and we're getting final updates on how the progress is. We've gotten the update on that area, the Bottoms area, on the project across the street, Keystone Development Project. When do you think that, based on where it is right now, when will we start seeing something actually happening, dirt being moved?
We've been told third quarter. we would be hope that something would be moving along in the third quarter. That's what we've been told.
So excavation in the third quarter.
Yeah, that's what. Well, I mean, you know, I think the catalyst is going to be WGNS.
We're ready.
Yeah. So I think that the catalyst is going to be they've got to do the site work across the street, build your building that will be sort of a freestanding building, and then start the project around your building before they can come over and start demolishing where we're sitting right now and the old police annex and the police headquarters. So that's sort of the key to the keystone. So
we're not going to slow it down. We're ready to move. Have been for a good while.
Yeah.
When all of that comes down, it can come down quickly because there's nobody there.
Sure.
Is the old city hall and the old water department, they also coming down at the same time?
Yeah, in southern terms, she gone. They're all gone.
So long, babe.
Yeah, you know, and that's really something. Those buildings, I think we looked, they were built in the 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. some in the 70s. You know, when we got to looking at the water sewer department, we were going to do a renovation of just the customer service area. And this was several years ago. The quote came back at almost $1 million to just,
wow.
And you're looking at it, and you're like, this building's not worth $1 million. You know, so I think we got into that catch 22 that the buildings are so old and our team had outgrown all those buildings that it was not cost feasible to do anything to them.
Now, we're still hearing the same type of comment from the old Goldstein's building from Mayor Carr,
yeah,
the county mayor. And on some of these things like that building, when you look at where are those people going to go, they're going to go into areas that maybe are city, county, joint owned.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that one of the discussions that we'll start working together with the county, and we've had some of these discussions, this is just my opinion. I think the more governmental services that we have around our square, the less activity we have with people who will come to our square to shop and eat and do all those things. So what we're really hoping, and this will be a discussion and has been a discussion on the One East College property as we're going through the condemnation process, that, you know, as you've heard me say, parking is an extreme need. And so I hope within that parking discussion that we have, there's the ability to be able to partner with several different government agencies to build office space and some different spaces for the residents. For example, I mean, and I'm not speaking for Mayor Carr, speaking for anyone else, but I could see a great asset to be able to have, you know, a government building where, for example, the election commission building and codes, the city building and codes, those are all housed in one building to where people don't have to figure out where they're going, that, you know, it's right there. So I think there's the opportunities to have those discussions.
So now with the Keystone development, you mentioned tax incremental financing, the TIF, mm-hmm. which saves them tax dollars. That's what you took away from the one where the
Correct.
Methodist Church is. And so I guess didn't rouse them up enough. You mentioned condemnation.
Well, I mean, so that's one of the things that we're going through right now with them. The tax incremental financing is extremely complicated because it has to have a public portion with that. And that's with their project, that was going to be the parking garage that could be used for public use. And the tax incremental financing is interesting because what you have to understand, it doesn't cost the municipality or the city any money. We're not giving them money. What we're basically saying is the current value of the property, for example, like we're sitting here right now, that property tax is froze for a 10-year period where we're not getting money off the property anyway, right? So what you're doing is you're allowing them to get a rebate on what, after the property is built, what would be paid. And so the argument with that is that you're getting the sales tax revenue, you're getting all this other revenue that would be coming in, and then once that infrastructure that they're investing in, that's where the property tax deferment goes to. So if there's a parking garage that's built right here, the public sector, the private sector is paying for that. The public sector is not paying for that. We don't have to borrow money. And so that's how that TIF works.
We are looking into the city of Murfreesboro. We're going to look deeper into the city of Murfreesboro. Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland is with us. The city budget is, I'm sure, already together. The T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. I hope, because it begins in just a couple of weeks. We'll be back and talk about that. We also have, he's come across some things dealing with the Middle Point landfill. We'll be covering that in just a moment.
We're News Radio WGNS 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Market declines, unemployment, oil prices. Don't let headlines derail your long-term financial strategy. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. I'll work with you to help you understand the impact of short-term events and how to be positioned for the long term. We provide the tools for a disciplined approach to investing. Call 615-907-7056 for an opportunity to discuss your situation. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios, MTE serves members with more than just electricity. Their community outreach team works with schools, parents, and students to provide engaging and unique learning experiences. MTE serving to make life better since 1936.
Forget those fluorescent lights and freezer burn. This ain't your average grocery run. Meet your farmer, talk a little livestock, and take home the juiciest veggies in your life. The Rutherford County Farmers Market, celebrating 50 seasons.
At Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro.
Real food, real people, and real local.
Partial sunshine develops this afternoon with a high in the upper 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies develop, low near 65. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 63.
From brakes and alignments to new tires and wheels, Tire World, locally owned and operated in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Online at tireworld.us.
Wow, what a beautiful day. We are back enjoying that day and enjoying it with us, Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland, who had a glow on his face when he walked into the studio this morning. Is that because the city budget is pretty well history now?
Well, not history, just started.
Almost.
Yeah, but you know, we made it another year with no tax increase, and I don't know how long we can do that, but we had a tax increase in 2018. Before that, I think it was 21 years that we had not had a tax increase as a city. So you go and say 18, that's 26, 8 years, 25, 26, so 7 years. So, I mean, we're one tax increase in 28 years, and I don't know many cities that have grown the way that we've grown and not, and been able to accomplish that. That's a lot of hard work, not only on the council, but our staff and our team in our entire city works really hard to make sure that we're fiscally responsible and conservative how we budget with all of our taxpayer dollars. And you know, that's a big deal to the resident. I had someone email me night before last about, don't raise my taxes, and I'm on a fixed income. And I responded back and said, you know, don't worry, we're not, but we'll just Bart, we'll keep working hard. But I mean, I can't make any promises that that we can always do that. I mean, our tax rate, I would anticipate after this session, I mean, we're still going to be in the low 90 cent range, and when reappraisal happens this December, I mean, we'll be looking at that number again. So it's continually getting tougher. I mean, think about this, Bart. We've been able, through sales tax growth and some of our property tax growth, to not have to raise taxes. But think about how much more things cost now than they did 10 years ago. So we're going to keep working hard at it.
Hard to believe. Yeah. Things keep going up.
Yeah.
Now, we heard something this morning on the Waking Crew here on WGNS. They were excited about seeing flags and things like that being put out along Thompson Lane for the widening of Thompson Lane.
Yeah. That will be the largest road construction project ever taken, ever started in the city of Murfreesboro. It's roughly about $150 million is the total. And so that is, we're told, will be under construction this year. So that's a project that is going to be a big project on that north corridor, going all the way from Memorial back to Thompson Lane, Broad Street.
That has with the growth over there has created traffic tie-ups.
Yeah, I don't, you know, in hindsight, and again, that before my time, I don't know if it was the smartest thing that we built three large schools on a two-lane road that...
Also threw in Tennessee Miller Coliseum. Which is huge.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the issue. Where you build schools, you can expect growth to come around those schools. I mean, that's just facts. I mean, people want to live close to schools, especially if they have young children. And so you look at Siegel Elementary, Siegel Middle, and Siegel High School that are all next door to each other. We've learned on some of that, Bart, that we don't necessarily try to build schools on major public thoroughfares. I mean, so think about this, Bart. You look at, I just want to use that corridor for an example. You've got those three schools that are on Thompson Lane. You go a mile and a half up the road on DeJarnett, and you've got, at the time, State Farm, Providence, John Pittard, Oakland Middle, Oakland High, in like a 2.5 mile stretch. So you build something like, you've got four schools on a 2 mile stretch. I mean, of course, traffic is going to be tough.
Of course, you know why that happened. Because it's cheaper, you have the big piece of property and you put all the schools on it.
Yeah.
The whole county, go to Rockvale, same thing.
Yeah, but I think the issue with that is it's the ramification. Land's the cheap thing. I mean, in consideration with building a school, land is a small part of that. It's all the other costs. And so, I think we've learned on that. We're working with that.
Very good. One other thing, let's move into, we have quite a few things you have come up with dealing with issues at the Middle Point landfill. First of all, tell us, how did this come about, the material you have today?
Well, we were notified, so yesterday, I'm pulling up my email here. Yesterday, we were notified by TDEC that we've gotten several complaints over the last many weeks. I think a lot of it has to do going in May where there's so much wet weather, and when the weather's bad, you think about this, Bart, you can't get dirt, right, to cover up the trash. So we were notified about this process that it was new to me, that TDEC was telling us that's called breach dirt.
I've never heard that word.
I hadn't either. And to be honest with you, our people that we trust and rely on who deal with landfills had never heard of that either, but you learn something new every day. And so what that is,
and they told you, give us the definition.
Yeah, breach dirt is an industry standard that daily cover is removed from the waste each morning. So in other words, you cover it up and then you remove it, and it's reused at the end of the day if possible. Breach dirt is typically reused 1 or 2 days before the facility determines that breach dirt is no longer acceptable due to accumulating too much waste within its matrix. At that point, the breach dirt becomes waste, and it's used as cover. And so I was really questioning TDEC on, hey, who regulates that process and how is it regulated? Because we were getting all these pictures on the landfill looking like that it was not being covered on a daily basis. And I think there's an argument that it wasn't being covered on a daily basis. And so anyway, long story short, TDEC sent an inspection out. I think it was a week ago, the end of May. They found that they cited them for not getting the landfill covered within 6 hours of closing of the operation of the landfill. And so then they went back out on June the 6th, which was last Friday, right? I believe that's right. And it says that the landfill stated that they would cover it entirely with new soil bought in from off-site that week. However, as of Friday, June 6th, only half of the area was completed during a follow-up inspection, so a V1 violation will be issued. The landfill continues to place soil over the area, and this work should be finished this week. So they,
what is
they,
V1 violation? Is that a monetary fine?
I think that's one of a major violation that they are not complying with the daily cover requirements. And so, I mean, we're going to keep corresponding and pushing TDEC to make sure that they follow the regulations that they have put in place. And I will tell you this, Brian Terry and Mayor Carr have been great to work with. And look, TDEC has been responsive. When we send emails, they respond. But, you know, like Bart, I say this is, how can you, and I get frustrated when I hear this, how can you be, say you're a good neighbor when you don't do what you say you're going to do? They told TDEC, we'll have this covered up, and then they didn't. They didn't get it done. So now they get a violation from TDEC. So, I mean, that's the part where, you know, the public trust is at zero with the landfill because they just don't do what they say they're going to do. Now, I will say this. I had a great meeting 2 weeks ago. We met with the new manager or the region director, and we met with the new manager of the landfill. That Mike Klassen is not the general manager of the landfill. Landfill. He's been promoted up the ranks now, so they're managing, I don't know what they manage. It's a large company. But anyway, Miss Tuttle or Turtle is the lady's name who is the new general manager. And so she manages, I think, two other landfills. So, you know, here's what's happened. You have citizen, I don't want to call them journalists, but you almost have like citizen inspectors now. And they drive by the landfill in the morning. They drive by the landfill at night. They drive by every day, and they snap pictures to say, hey, here's what's going on. And, I mean, that's where we are because the residents have been I don't want to say they've been lied to.
They're your eyes and ears. The public is.
Yeah, but, I mean, they – just like this case where we're using breached dirt and – I think that's more of a legislative issue as well. You know, I think there is an argument that TDEC, in my opinion, TDEC has too much authority in being able to change the rules and regulations. I mean, look, the people who are regulating these landfills, some of them worked for Republic. So it's like that old saying, the chicken garden or the fox garden, the hen house, you know? So, and I'm not saying they're conflicted, but, you know, Bart, if I'm used to work in an industry and I'm regulating that, I mean, you've got relationships there. So anyway, the people at TDEC have been great and responsive and they answer questions, but, you know, some of it is just governmental, googly moogly, like listening to it going, okay, it sounds very bureaucratic that you made the decision that that's okay. And I think that's where Brian Terry, you know, Robert Stevens has been great. Tim Rudd has been great. All of our delegation, Shane Reeves, Don White, Mike Sparks, Charlie Baum, they have to step in and say, no, we did not give you that authority to do that. And we're going to question why you think you have that authority. So that's, I guess, the one thing that you can say is that where Republic had been touting that they hadn't had any violations. That's not true any longer. So they've gotten violated twice over the last 2 weeks. One was called an AOC. I don't know what that stands for. I'm sure it's some kind of administrative correction or something, that where they were not getting the landfill covered in the proper amount of time that it was supposed to be covered.
So these are state violations.
Yeah, over the last, the one was the end of May that we got the report where they had been inspected, and this latest one was June the 6th. Yeah, so it's Friday, June 6th, only half of the area was completed. You're in a follow-up inspection, so a V1 violation will be issued. And I think that's the overall issue, Bart. And this is just coming from a layman. I'm not a landfill expert, although we have people who are experts that advise us. The amount of trash that they're taking in on a daily basis, they can't keep up and get it covered. I mean, that's exactly what that says, that they're not able to cover the amount of trash that comes in. So my thing is,
Can they control that?
Take less trash.
Yeah, they can. How do they control? Do they just close the door?
If they take less trash, what are they making?
Less money.
So that's what it boils down to. So it's like, let's take everything we possibly can, and if we get it covered up, we'll do the best we can.
When you say take less trash, I can see if they stop the traffic, we're not going to take any more. You got all these trailer trucks lining up and down the road with nowhere to go.
Yeah, I mean, and look, their argument is going to be, look, if we stop taking trash, the trash has to go somewhere. But I mean, so think about this, though. If it's pouring outside, it's tough to get trash covered up because it's raining, just like any construction site. I mean, ultimately, the landfill is one large construction site. And so if it's raining and in your dirt quarry where you're mining out, and that's another thing that Steve Piercy did a great job, Commissioner Piercy did, explaining what's happened in the surrounding areas where they basically have just, raped and pillaged the land for dirt on these adjacent farms. Well, those farms where you're mining that dirt, they fill up with water whenever it rains, so they can't get topsoil. So if you can't get topsoil, you can't cover. And so you do a process now that we've learned called breach dirt, which, okay. I mean, literally, I've never heard of the process of breach dirt. So you
learn. We all learn something.
Learn something new every day.
We'll pause for just a moment and come back for the conclusion of the program with Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. Right now, there's this big talk of tariffs. So we start looking at, where do all of our suppliers get their product from? Even though we're buying it from, and it looks like it's from an American company, but they're getting it from China. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give people the value. When the prices do go up, we have at least a cushion to work off of. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Here at Animal City, we keep your pet protected, safe, and comfortable. So whether it's helping you find the perfect bedding for your critter or a toy that your dog will absolutely love, let our experience help you here at Animal City. Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Here at Animal City, we are very proud to be family-owned and serving Murfreesboro since 1990. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro, Animal City.
The food's delicious at Adam's Place.
Well, I'm afraid the food is too good. I have a problem turning down the dessert.
Alan Butcher at Adam's Place.
But the food is wonderful. Danny and all the cooks and the servers back there are just wonderful to us. We have plenty to eat.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adam's Place. Call me for more information about Adam's Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
Adam's Place on Memorial, across from Walmart.
Get old. Old National Bank, that is. Old National Bank has the experience and service you need to buy a home, make investments, even online and mobile banking. Old National Bank is in the borough on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard, which used to be Mercury Boulevard.
Visit us and enjoy warm, homemade cookies at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
We have about a minute left in our broadcast. Mayor Shane McFarland with us, a focus on the city of Murfreesboro. We had a plane crash yesterday. I know you're a pilot.
Yeah, I was flying to Crossville yesterday at the same time that the plane went down in Murfreesboro.
That is really into a thick group of trees. I mean, how are they going to get it out of there?
I asked Chad Gerke, our airport director, the same thing. There's a company that has a crane that they come in and they do this all the time. So that plane was from Georgia. I think it was Donahue, Georgia. It was a 1977 Bonanza, which is a decent size single engine plane. So thank God nobody was killed.
Landing in the trees probably softened the land.
No doubt.
Mayor Shane McFarland with us this morning. Shane, thank you again.
Thanks, Bart.
Have a great day. Good morning to you from WGNS.